home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
I'll fly away.
I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. I wandered so aimless, my life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claim for my own. Then like the blind man, that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
Who shakes?
Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Who brings our chaos?
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory,
who rules the nations
with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Worthy. Worthy,
worthy, oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Heart, so glad to have all of you here today. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I have to say, God blew in a great crowd today. We felt that wind. Hey, it's good to have Jonathan Moyers here today leading us in worship. This is Kevin and Cindy's son. I'm sure most of you have met him, but we're going to enjoy just coming before God and giving him praise. Shake someone's hand and then we'll continue.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began,
ash was redeemed.
Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. But my orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. when death was arrested and my life began.
Oh, your grace.
Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. From my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. That's when death was arrested and my life began.
Oh, your grace
so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you.
Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross.
Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in. That's when death was arrested and my life began.
Oh, your grace
so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began.
Yes, we're free,
free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began.
When death was arrested and
my life began.
Aren't you thankful for that? Yeah. Praise God. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated.
I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me.
I'm gonna sing.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
All right, guys with me, girls with Jennifer, all right?
Sing a little louder.
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 In the presence of my enemy.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
As heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah. Thy presence, my life. thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Fill my great Father and I thy true Son. Thou
riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. O God, be my everything, be my delight. Be Jesus my glory, my soul satisfied. Oh God, be my everything, be my delight. Be Jesus my glory, my soul satisfied. My Jesus, you satisfy. My Jesus, you satisfy. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Still be.
Still be.
Grateful to be able to join you today, and I've been here a couple times and just led a few songs, but this is the first time I've led the entire thing. And last time I was here, my dad asked me to do a song into communion called To the Table, and we're going to sing it all together today as we prepare for this time. If you haven't heard this song before, I invite you to pray it. Pray the words that you see on the screen. And the message is all about, he doesn't care what you've done, he wants you at the table with him. So let's sing this together. Hear the voice of love that's calling. There's a chair that waits for you, and a friend who understands everything you're going through. But you keep standing at a distance, in the shadow of your shame. But there's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place? And bring it all to the table. It's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. He can see the weight you carry, the fears that hold your heart. But through the cross you've been forgiven, you're accepted as you are. So bring it all to the table. It's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your trials, all your worries and your burdens, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. Bring it all. You can bring it all. So come on in.
Come on in, take your place. There's no one who's turned away. All you sinners, all you saints, come right in and find your grace. Come on in, take your place. There's no one who's turned away. All you sinners, all you saints, come right in and find your grace. So bring it all table. It's nothing he ain't seen before. All your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table.
Amen. You may have a seat.
This morning in our Sunday school class, one of the topics we were discussing about was how Israel seemed to have a hard time remembering. They would forget God a lot. In the book of Deuteronomy, in fact, at least 11 times God asked them to remember. In the same book, he says not to forget 11 times. Jesus would tell us when he was around that table to remember, and that's what we're doing this morning, and we hope that you do what Jesus asks. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your table right now, we ask that you help us to remember what he did for us on that cross. We're so thankful for the life that he gave and the blood that he shed so that we might have eternity with you. So this morning, as we partake of these emblems, help us to remember the most important thing that Jesus did for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
I remember when I was young and your voice shouting loud my name. Since that moment, Haven't heard it quite that way. Now that I'm older, could you say it again? I remember I was afraid, and oh, the hand I fell in the way. For the first time in my life, I felt safe. But now that I'm older, would you lead me again? When the storm's out on the ocean and the violent wind gets to blowing, oh, take me back, back, all the way back. Oh, take me back to my first love. I remember when I was blind, and then your love opened up my eyes, and all the light that flooded my life. Now that I'm older, could you show me again? Would you show me again? When the storm's out on the ocean and the violent wind gets to blowing, oh, take me back, back, all the way back. Oh, take me back to my first love. You are real to me. Known it from the start. There's no space between the heavens and my heart. You are near to me. Never been too far. And in the in between, you brought heaven to my heart. When the storm's out on the ocean and the violent wind gets to blowing, oh, take me back, back, all the way back. Oh, take me back, back, all the way back. Oh, take me back, back, all the way back. Oh, take me back to my first love.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we've just passed a week of national thanksgiving for our nation, and now as we come this morning together as one unit in the body of Christ, I just ask that we every Sunday when we gather, that we be thankful to you and for the many blessings that you give us. So now we ask that you bless this offering to your glory, and may it further your word in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
When it was all simple and loving was easy.
When it was all simple and trusting was easy. When it was all simple and loving was easy. When it was all simple and trusting was easy. When it was all simple and loving was easy. When it was all simple and trusting was easy. When it was all simple and
loving was easy, when it was all simple, and trusting was easy.
When the storm's out on the ocean, and the violent wind gets to blowing, oh, take me back, back, all the way back. Oh, take me back to my first love.
Lord, let that be our prayer today, that we'll come back to you, to our first love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jonathan and ladies. Does a dad's heart good to see his son leading worship and to be able to have all of my family here except Cindy. Cindy is sick today, and what a day to be sick. She's sick in more than one way, that she can't be here today. And so I feel for her, I love her, and just miss her today. You know, I've been torn over the last 2 weeks about just wanting to take quite a bit of time to challenge you about what's coming up in the weeks to come. And I again plead with you to read your bulletin today, because inside the bulletin, it's basically giving you information that I hope that you will grab hold of and take advantage of the sign-up sheets out there. Say, yes, I want to be desperate for God. If you are not desperate for God, you are in a desperate situation. And that is our theme for 2020, being desperate for God. And there's going to be some Bible study sheets made available to you. 52 weeks of the new year, there will be a new lesson made available to you each week to help you grow in your walk with Jesus. And I really want you to consider making a commitment to 30 minutes or 45 minutes a week that would require that amount of time to help you do that lesson, to study those scriptures, to look those scriptures up, and just be sharpened in your faith. That's what we want to have happen. If you're willing to do that, there's a sign-up sheet out there for you to put your name there. Yes, I want to be a part of this effort. It'd be a different lesson each week. And it's not just to take in more Bible, because really, if that's the purpose of it, it's probably, you got plenty of chances to take in more Bible now, as it is. You got Sunday morning, Sunday school, church. You can hear it on the radio. You can hear it on the TV, podcast, all of that. But what our hope is that as a congregation, we will grow together in God's Word so that we can be a blessing to others. That's really our goal. And so if you want to be desperate for God, this is a good way to sharpen yourself in Jesus. Sign up that you would like to get those Bible study sheets. We'll make them available to you by hard copy on Sundays every week of the new year. Or we'll send them out to you email. However we can get them to you, however you need for that to happen, we will do our best to make that happen. There's a second sign-up sheet there, and that is simply through the month of January, we want to kick off this being desperate for God, this new theme of the new year. We want to kick that off with prayer and fasting every day of the month of January. And certainly we're not asking you to fast for 31 days, but we are asking you to consider fasting for one day. And that fasting day can look however you want it to look. You can fast for the whole day. You can fast for one meal of that day. You can fast from a certain food that you really enjoy. You can, I would certainly encourage you, if you are fasting that day, to fast from your electronics, your phone, your computer, and just give attention to God, asking Him to help you be desperate for God and to help Reinhardt Church to be desperate for God. And something else we want to be praying and fasting for. It's been a while since these baptismal waters have been stirred. Too long. And certainly Satan is wanting to fight. He's fighting day and night. He's wrestling for souls. And he doesn't want people coming to Jesus. And we want to pray and fast that in this new year to come, there will be more souls saved. And if there are chains, if there are bonds that are holding people back, that they will be broken. That all of that will be broken in the name of Jesus. And that souls will come to Christ. That's what we're asking you to fast and pray about. If you'd be willing to get in on one day of that, if we get all 31 days covered, then the whole month is covered. It's like a chain of praying and fasting. Some of you have probably never fasted before. I would encourage you to try this. It's a challenge. But you know where it's a challenge at? It's not a challenge here. I guarantee it. It is not a challenge here. It's a challenge here. We discipline ourselves through the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit who is in us. And we say, I don't need that food today. But I need Him. I need Him, and I'm desperate for Him. Let's pray together. God, help us as we get into this message today. We need Your help. We need Your Holy Spirit guidance. Be with me as I speak Your words. Help us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, we'll read through verse 7. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the perishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, so as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. We've been going through 1 Peter for a few weeks, and you remember our theme. We are strangers in this land. We are not to be planting our roots deep here in this world. Our roots are to be in heaven. Another way of saying it, we are in this world, but we are not of the world. As citizens of heaven, according to Peter's writing, he has identified two identifying marks of the citizens of heaven. And these two marks separate us from the rest of the world. And you think about it, if you are holy and if you are submissive, those you certainly are going to be different than the rest of the world. And those are the two identifying marks of the kingdom citizen: holiness and submissiveness. Four different times in these first two chapters, Peter has challenged us to be holy. God is holy, therefore we are to be holy. He has given to us the Holy Spirit to help us be holy. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. That means He helps us to become more holy. And keep this in mind, holiness is not just for the missionaries and the superhero saints. Holiness is for all of us. If we wear His name, we are called to live holy lives. You may recall a definition that I gave to you for holiness is to be wholly His. The second identifying mark of God's kingdom citizen is submissiveness. Chapter 2 of 1 Peter, we talked about being submissive in our relationships with one another. We talked about being submissive to the government who reigns over us. And we have talked, too, about being submissive to our boss at work. Being submissive is not being weak. The world is twisted in their thinking that submissiveness is equivalent to weakness. Jesus was submissive, but certainly He was not weak. This has more to do with selflessness, humility of mind. It has to do with being a servant, giving preference to the other person rather than always demanding our own way. And so, as we get into chapter 3 today, Peter is still on the subject of submissiveness. You remember, when Peter wrote this book, there were no chapter divisions. There were no verses. And so, he's continuing in this theme of submissiveness. You see the first four words of the chapter there in your Bible? It in the same way, he says. Those words connect what is about to be said with what has already been said. In the same way that you are submissive to your government, in the same way that you are submissive to your boss at work, in the same way, wives, be submissive to your own husbands. And again, this is not a dirty word in God's mind, nor is it degrading to the wife. Somebody has to lead in the home. And God has chosen for that leader to be the husband. And that is consistent with the rest of Scripture. The husband is the leader in the home, but he is a much better leader if he leads from a servant mindset. He's not to be domineering or lording it over his wife. Rather, he's to pick up the towel and the basin of water and wash her feet. You see, if he has that kind of mindset and he actually lives that out in their relationship, then I think most women, most godly women for sure, will be willing to give him the leadership in the marriage. That was the kind of servant leader that Jesus was, and it's the kind of leader that God has called the husband to be. He's called us to be a servant leader. Specifically, wives, Peter says, if you're married to an unbelieving husband, the way that you win that husband to the Lord is by submitting to him. Don't nag him. Don't beat him over the head nonstop with your Bible. Instead, you just live the Christian life in front of them. Let me read this verse to you from the New Living Translation. And as this verse, I mean, it just seems to make it so clear what Peter was saying. It says this, "In the same way, you wives accept the authority of your husbands, then even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives." It's tempting, I'm sure, to nag your unbelieving husband. And I understand that. You want so badly for him to experience the truth of God and the grace of God in his life. You want to share commonality with him in your faith towards God. You want him to go to heaven with you. But Peter says the best way to win your husband is not to harass him about his lack of faith. Instead, you live the faith in front of him. You try and stay above reproach. You be Jesus to him, because you may be the only Jesus that he sees. And really, he's not going to pick up the Bible and read it. So you need to be Jesus in front of him. And you show him a life of integrity. You show him a life of purity. You show him a life of kindness. You be Jesus to him. Let him see the joy of Jesus in you. Let him sense the peace that passes all understanding. Let him see love in action. And at the same time, don't compromise your faith to him. Don't let him be the bigger influence on you. You be the bigger influence on him. And that kind of approach will give you the best chance in reaching your husband for Jesus without a word, Peter says. I can't help but notice verses 3 and 4. If we could get those on the screen. As I'm talking, you read those verses. It's very easy to get caught up in one's outward appearance. There's so much emphasis on this today. And you know, we all like to look good. Looking good is not bad, but it's bad when we become more concerned with looking good than being good. Abby's here today. I used to say, particularly to her as she's growing up, it is so important, Abby. It's more important to be sweet than to be pretty. And I would say that to her over and over again. And it's the truth. And that's a message that if you've got little ones in your home, particularly the girls, you communicate that message to them. It's more important to be sweet than to be pretty. It's more important that you have an emphasis on the heart than what you have on the outward appearance. I was listening to a sermon recently about this text, and the preacher was talking about if you have a woman who's really beautiful on the outside, but as you get to know her, you find out that her mouth is vulgar, and she's a chronic complainer, and she's a habitual liar, and she's bitter. It doesn't take long before that woman really isn't so pretty to you anymore. The inside outshines the outside. But then the opposite is true too. You might have a woman who isn't the perfect 10 on the outside. In fact, she's just pretty average. in her looks. But as you get to know her, you find out she has personality plus. She's fun. She's joyful. She's positive. She loves people, and she'll do anything for anyone. That woman, as you get to know her more and more, she just becomes more and more beautiful. Because you realize that's what matters most. It's what's on the inside. It's not what is on the outside. And so Peter says, women, your adornment must not be merely external, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in God's sight. Now, does that mean that we can't take care of the outside? Not at all. In fact, you can try to help the outside. I used to say this, if the barn needs painted, paint it. But your emphasis, your priority needs to be on the inside, not the outside. And that's Peter's words to us. He goes on to talk about Sarah, Abraham's wife. He uses her in his writing as the model wife who was submissive to her husband. If we could get the next couple of verses on the screen, verses 5 and 6, you can read these as I'm talking to you. I'm thinking of all the women that Peter could have chosen prior to his time, of all the women in the past that he could have chosen as the model wife. I mean, he could have talked about Ruth. He could have talked about Elizabeth in the New Testament. He could have talked about Hannah. I mean, there's a whole numbers of women that he could have chosen. Instead, he mentioned Sarah. Verse 6, she called Abraham Lord. For 36 years, I've been trying to get Cindy to call me Lord. She just won't do it. She won't do it. Can you imagine? Abraham came to Sarah, and he said, honey, pack your bags, because tomorrow we're going to move from this place. We're going to leave your family behind. We're going to leave our home behind. We're going to uproot everything. God has told me to go, and so we're going to go. And Sarah says, where are we going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. God didn't tell me where we're going. I guess he'll tell us as we're on our way. But tomorrow morning, we need to be ready, okay? We're leaving. Okay. I mean, we give Abraham the credit for all of that, mostly, as we look back at that story and we think, wow, Abraham had such strong faith. He was willing to go where God told him. You know, he didn't tell Abraham where he was going, but Abraham was willing to go. Don't forget, Sarah was willing to go too. I mean, she needs as much credit as Abraham because she was in on this. And she was just as honorable to God as Abraham was for submitting to that plan, even though the plan was very unclear at the time. Submission is not an easy thing. And I know we live in a different culture today. We live in a different time. But I know, too, that God's word has not changed. And so, how do we wrap our minds around all of this? Certainly, we need the Holy Spirit to help us, and we need to lay aside the world's mindset, because I can tell you for sure, in the world's mindset, this sermon today is totally archaic. It's out of date. It's offensive. It's crazy. To submit is to be weak. That's what the world says. To submit is to be dominated, to be walked on and kicked around and abused. But I can tell you for sure that was not the mindset that God had when he inspired Peter to write this. He loves the wife. And I honestly will say this. He may have saved the best for last in the creation order. And so certainly, he is not going to put her in a position of weakness. He's put her in a position where she can shine the brightest. Please understand, the wife is not forced by her husband to submit. She chooses to submit. And so actually, it's a decision made from strength, not weakness. Just like Jesus chose to submit. He was not weak, he was strong. And I'm sure there is so much more that could be said about this. And I have to be honest with you, I feel like I'm just in way deep this morning over my head. I just cry out to God for help as I was preparing this and preparing to deliver it to you. I said to Elijah, man, I'd love it if you'd preach this sermon. He went out of town. He packed his bags. He packed his bags and he said, I'm out of here, man. December 1st, I'm gone. So, I get the responsibility of preaching this message. Before I get too far away from the subject of submission, let me remind you that Paul said in Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Do you remember the context of that passage? The context of that passage out of Ephesians 5 is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are learning to submit to one another out of reverence for Jesus, along with giving praise to him and thanksgiving to him. All of that is in the context of this passage. We submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And from that verse, after the very verse, next verse, after this verse, is wives, be submissive to your husbands. And then he goes on to say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. We are submitting to one another because we are filled up with his Holy Spirit. It's a mutual mindset of servanthood. It's not my way or the highway. It's how can I give preference to you? What can I do for you? How can I help you? How can I make life easier for you? If a husband has that kind of mindset towards his wife, it will be so much easier for her to give to him the leadership of the home. I heard a preacher years ago as he preached on this sermon, he said, I don't know a woman in the world that wouldn't submit to a husband like that, that just loves her so much that he's giving himself up for her. She's gladly giving the leadership. So let's get back to Peter's writing. You do notice there are six verses that have to do with the wives and only one verse that has to do with the husband. Verse 7. And my wife, if she was here, she would be quick to say that's because the man can comprehend only one verse at a time. And she's probably right. And so what does Peter say to the husband? Basically, he says two things. He's to live with his wife in an understanding way, and he is to grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of God. First of all, he's to live with her in an understanding way. And you say, is it possible to understand my wife? Probably it will take a lifetime to accomplish that. But no better time to get started than the present. She's like a diamond that no matter which way you turn the diamond, you see a different side to her, and she's absolutely beautiful. That's how God made your wife. She's very complex. Notice I did not say complicated. She is complex. God made her that way. And he wants us to study her so that we can understand her better. I don't know. It's almost good that Cindy's not here today. Hear me say all of this. I'm teasing. I remember when she and I went through Dave Ramsey's course on finances years ago. And Dave Ramsey started talking about budgeting. And I have to tell you, I am not a number cruncher. So it didn't take long for all of this budget talk to just kind of go over my head, and I just checked out. I said, this isn't making sense to me. And so I just went somewhere else with my mind. Thankfully, Cindy did understand it, and she is a number cruncher. She loves numbers, and boy, she can get in the middle of all of those numbers. And I wasn't too proud to give to her at that time the lead role in the finances, and what a difference it has made for us. And the point I'm making is, when things get too complex for me, in this case, the numbers and the crunching of numbers, I just checked out. As husbands, we are not given that option with our wives. We can't say, I don't understand her, so I'm just going to check out. I'm going to quit trying. No, God says, live with her in an understanding way. That means you have to get to know her. You have to figure her out. You have to listen to her. You have to give attention to her. You have to stay in there and find out what makes her tick. And once you figure that out, Peter says, be considerate of her. That's what the NIV says. Verse 7, husbands, in the same way, haven't we seen those words before? In the same way as you give submission to your government, in the same way as you give submission to your boss at work, wives, in the same way you give submission to your husbands, and now here he's saying it to the husband, in the same way, you see, again, the message is very clear. We are submitting to one another. It's not about us. It's about her. I need to appreciate her as God's gift to me. I need to understand her and respect her. I need to have some gentleness within me towards her and appreciate her. And whatever her needs are, I need to be trying to meet those needs. And the summary of it is what Paul said in Ephesians 5, as Christ loved the church, what? Husbands, love your wives in that same way. And if I will treat her with that kind of tenderness, then my prayers will not be hindered. Peter says, maybe that's why we have so many prayers that are not being answered in the home, because we're just not getting this figured out. We're not doing our part in the home and understanding and loving our wives. Marriage can be challenging, but it can be so good if we submit to him and submit to each other. I want us to pray. So much to think about today, to try and digest. Would you, if you're a married person, would you say, Lord, just help me to figure this out, to help me to give attention to your will and to my spouse. If you're not married, would you pray for those around you who are? Maybe if you're young this morning, you think someday it will be in God's plan for you to be married. Just say, God, lead me. Help me to make right decisions. Lord, we do need your help. We need your Holy Spirit to guide us. We need your wisdom. We give ourselves to you more fully. Help us in our marriages. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please.
For I spoke a word, you were singing over me.
You have been so, so good to me.
For I took a breath,
you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99.
I could learn it. I don't deserve it,
still you give yourself away.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99.
I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it,
still you give yourself away.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall.
no shadow you won't light up, no mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Are you thankful for that love?
Be seated for just a moment. I want to update you on a few prayer concerns before I pray. If you'll be praying for Carol Parker, she's been having some health issues, and that is the sister of Mary Heimer, Gillette. Kay Johnson did start her chemo treatments this past week, but she's having a really rough time with those, and we want to be remembering her. This is Troy Pyatt's down here, but we want to, he's going to see a cardiologist this week and has some tests to be run, so I want to remember that, as well as you see quite a few names here going through some things. So let's pray about these. Holy God, we thank you for loving each one of us. We thank you for these people that we see in our bulletin, and each one of us know so many people beyond this list that are struggling and have needs. Some of them are us right now. I pray, Lord, that you would be working in each and every person in this room and just bring them closer to you. Help them to feel your love and comfort and peace. And if it's physical healing, we pray that they would begin to see that in their life. If it's spiritual, if it's emotional, we pray that they would feel that. God, I pray that as your people, we would continue to turn back to you. And whether it's a good day or a bad day, we would just continue to give you praise. God, I ask that you would be with Troy as he goes in and sees his doctor this week, and just provide some answers there and direction for what's next. And be with Kay. Help her be strong and to just really get through these next couple days of chemo, so she can get to that break. And Lord, just walk her through this time. We ask that you be with Carol and the health problems she's having. Meet her needs, Lord. We pray for healing. Lord, for each of these people that are dealing with cancer, help them on this fight, Lord. And wherever they are on that journey, Lord, just continue to care for them. God, I ask that you would be with us, that we would have eyes that are open to you so that we can see the needs that are around us, and that we can be quick to represent you to those who need us. Just be with us this week, Lord, as we leave here. Help us to honor you in all we do, in all we think, and all we say. It's in Jesus' wonderful, powerful, mighty name we pray. Amen. Don't forget those sign-up lists. I think we all need to be desperate for God, so there's a place for you to sign up. And then today is Hume Sunday. Don't forget that. And then this, I believe it's Wednesday, we have a lunch. So that's that. Check that out in the bulletin for the details. And let's stand, and we have one final song.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I
great week, Reinhardt. Thanks for letting me be with you this morning.